Welcome, everyone, to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it because there is so much going on. It's not just sports. It's not just one thing in Minnesota. It's a lot. And, of course, I am so excited to bring back on the show Sean LaBelle. We had him on, I think, back in February or March, maybe. And you remember the song Feel the Breeze? If you don't remember it, honey, my goodness, you should listen to it. Now, the Capri has a new concert series, the Capri Presents is what it's called. The second concert in the series on July 13th, features Sean LaBelle with special guest Stokely. If you don't know who Stokely is, look him up. And also Randy Scott. So he's got some stuff going on that is amazing. Welcome, Sean. How are you?
Hey, Geraldine. So great to be with you. I mean, yeah, you're right. I was on last February when the release of the single with Patrice Rushen was just coming out. And, you know, I have to give credit. You know, my appearance on your show obviously had some magic because we ended up with a hit record after that. So I guess there's some magic being on your show.
I receive it. Thank you very much. Well, that single is called Feel the Breeze. And I had a chance to listen to Patty today, and she was playing that song, and I thought, man, that is a smoking tune. And it just keeps climbing the charts.
Yeah, it's been just a blessed run. 6 months as one of the most played songs on SiriusXM Radio Smooth Jazz. So, you know, you can't ask for anything better than that. So I've been really blessed.
Really blessed. Tell me who Randy Scott is. Tell me more.
Randy Scott is one of the really great sax players out of Detroit. He's been a smooth jazz star now for many, many, many years. He's had about 5 number ones, and the guy has just been killing it all over the country. He tours with the great Tim Bowman as well. He's his sax player when Tim is out on the road. If you're not familiar with Tim, Tim's another super, super, super incredible smooth jazz guitar player that is a mega, mega hit maker, a lot of hits. So he's an amazing cat, and we've had the pleasure of doing some shows on the East Coast, and I love playing with Randy, and so it was great to be able to get him up here in the city.
You know, you've been playing instruments for a long time, and when you meet some of these musicians, man, they just seem to take to you very quickly. It's a beautiful thing. Tell me, when did you realize that you would be successful?
You know, it's one of those things where it, because you know I played with you guys for a long time as well. It's just one of those things where music was in our household, and you know better than anybody. You know, my dad, my mom, my older brother Lance. I mean, we were all musicians and songwriters, and it was just an innate thing. It was in our blood. And luckily I had, you know, parents that were very proactive in pushing music. And as you know, we were, you know, jamming in our basement and at all hours, because you guys were over at all hours too. We used to rehearse back in the 80s,
yeah.
You know?
Oh,
so
yeah.
It was just one of those things. I mean, obviously if you've got supportive parents that are supporting the arts, I mean, that's only going to help, you know, catapult your existence. So that definitely was a major factor.
Well, you've reached another star, because Feel the Breeze, featuring Grammy Award winning artist Patrice Rushen, as you mentioned before, has been on SiriusXM's most played list for over 5 months and is roaring to the top of the Billboard charts. That's a huge deal. If you don't know that you're successful, you know it now, don't you? Come
yeah,
on now.
You know, it's been an incredible run. You know, I got to thank the Lord. I mean, I've had, you know, 3 decades of working with some incredible artists like Ray Charles and Michael McDonald and James Ingram and Ambrosia, Manfred Marsalis, Paul Abdul, the Steels. I mean, I've worked with everybody, you know, and to be able to have that happen in your lifetime and to be able to walk away going, wow, you know, I guess I made an impact. That's a beautiful thing to be able to do that. And yes, absolutely. To be able to make a living doing what you love is a gift. And I'm really, really lucky that I've been able to do that all these years.
Okay. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. Because I want to know, did you ever consider quitting?
There was never any reason to, because, you know, right out of the gate, I was playing professionally at 9 years old you know, playing jobbing dates and playing weddings and bar mitzvahs and learning how to play in the real book and play standards and play jazz.
Right. The real book. Haven't heard that before in a long time.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I grew up with an older brother that was, you know, teaching me standards and playing standards at a very young age. And when you have that kind of an education, it was very obvious. And all my, you know, school aptitude tests and everything kind of, you know, they screened one thing, and that was music. And of course, it was acting as well, because I did a lot of commercials for my father, as you know, was an advertising icon. And so to be able to have that ability to be able to do, you know, TV, to be able to do music, and now in later life to be, you know, doing both, producing television commercials and doing music, it's just been, you know, an amazing thing. So to answer your question, no, because I just roared right into it. I mean, I went,
exactly.
went out of high school right into, you know, in playing with some of the best musicians in the Twin Cities. And then, of course, you know, went on to the Jody Wiley tour, and the rest is history. So it was really nonstop for me. I was really, really fortunate to be able to work, you know, work with so many amazing people here. And then, of course, this was such a hotbed early on, as you know. I mean, obviously, Prince kind of opened up, you know, the doors for everybody, and I think opened up.
Kinda? Come on.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, you got to give credit to so many others, too, like Jamal Lewis, you got to give credit to, and so many people that, you know, Bob Dylan, and, you know, it wasn't just Prince. There were a lot of people out of here that were doing some incredible things, and I think that was a really interesting time to be growing up in the 80s when he was happening. You know, Jam and Lewis were all over the radio with all their stuff, and it was just such a great springboard, I think, for all of us, right?
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. There have been so many young people that I've talked to over the years of being in the radio business, the singing business, whatever. And I am always amazed at the questions that they ask. They will ask questions about how were you successful? What was the first thing you did to reach that when you started your journey of success? Those kind of questions. Have you ever been in front of a group of young people asking you those kind of questions?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been on a lot of panels and done a lot of things and mentored a lot of younger musicians and absolutely. And you know, they still ask those same questions today. And today I always tell them, get a day job, because music business is not what it used to be.
I mean, so true.
It really isn't. It? Because when downloading hit in 2000, I mean, I remember, I was, you know, getting some pretty serious budgets to produce albums and produce, you know, records for major artists. And when that downloading hit in 2000, it changed this entire
everything. It did.
Everything.
Yeah.
And they still haven't figured it out. You know, the likes of Spotify and everything else. I mean, the royalty checks I get today compared to what I got in the 90s. I mean,
it's a joke. It's a joke.
It is a joke. And I'm glad cats like Snoop Dogg are stepping out and speaking up. And I'm glad people are. I have for quite a while. I've been speaking out about it. I've been very outspoken about it, because it's ridiculous. So many people are getting ripped off. And I'm not going to mention this person's name, but there is someone I know very well in Los Angeles that recently challenged all of this and won a very, very, very big lawsuit. I was very, very proud of him for taking the initiative to actually stand up to some of these cats, because it just can't go on like this. It just cannot continue like this. They got to get it figured out. Songwriters deserve to get paid, and musicians deserve to get paid for what they're doing.
Enough said on that. There you go. That's huge. That's exactly right. Well, okay, so my final question for you, and I know I've been keeping you a bit, but you have reached this big milestone, which I think is amazing. But what do you do next? Do you just keep writing? Do you say, okay, that was that, and let's move. Let's move to the next thing. Or do you just let it soak in for a while?
You know, it's one of those things. I think you know this better than anybody. You know, once you're a creator, you're always creating. And I think once you stop creating, part of you dies. And I'm always going to create. I'm always going to make music. I'm always going to make records, because that's what I love to do. And I think it's what keeps you young and keeps you youthful and keeps you alive. So, yeah, I mean, I Stokely and I were just talking about this the other day, and it's just like, we're not going to retire. Retire to do what?
Right.
We're going to keep on making records. I mean, there's no reason to. So, And, you know, as long as you're digging it, and, you know, if it gets to a point where I finally reach a point where it's like, okay, this isn't fun anymore, then it's time to stop. But as long as it's still fun, I'm gonna keep doing it.
Okay, but what if? What if there is someone in your life that needs to tell you that you're done? What would you do? Who would you choose, and what would you do?
What would I do at this point?
I mean, if someone told me that I was done, if someone said, Geraldine, you are done, you should never sing again, I'm not going to listen to that.
Yeah, I don't really pay attention to, I mean, if you sit and pay attention to what people say, then, you know, then you got real problems. You got to go with what you love and your gut and what, you know, thank God people still want to check me out. So, you know, until that day comes, I guess I'm going to keep on rocking. I'm not going to worry about it.
Oh, no, absolutely. That's exactly what you're going to do because you've been doing it for a long time.
Yes.
Sean LaBelle, what a pleasure, man. What a pleasure to have you on. Just keep moving up and forward. Just keep going, and we'll all be watching that star rise, okay?
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me, and we look forward to seeing everybody out at the Capri on Thursday. It's going to be a fun night.
Oh, let's give them more information on that. That's right. It's at the Capri that is coming up on Thursday, you said? Do I have that correct?
That's right, Thursday.
Yes.
That's correct.
And the address is, Thursday night. The show starts at 7:30 all the way to 9 p.m., so you got a good amount of time with them. The Capri Theater at 2027 West Broadway in Minneapolis, 55411. Do not miss it, you guys. It's going to be smoking. Take care of yourself, dude.
Absolutely. Thank you, my dear. Thanks, Geraldine.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back. I like it already, that's for sure. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. And our next guest is Michael Ferrier. He's with Fathom Lane, the name of the band, and that song is called, that you're listening to, Surviving. Now, Fathom Lane has a new album titled In the Driftless, led by acclaimed songwriter Michael Ferrier. Minneapolis folk rockers Fathom Lane returned with their first album since 2017. In the Driftless is a poetic and nuanced blend of country, folk, pop, and rock with lyrics exploring themes of loss and so much more. Michael, welcome to CCO. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me, Geraldine. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. You know, you guys have so many genres and with the music in this album. Tell us how that came to be.
Well, I guess I just try not to limit ourselves to one kind of approach to a song. I try to treat every song as its own little world, I think. And so, you know, that's why I think it lends itself to a more eclectic song, an eclectic approach. So we really kind of try to keep it open when we're trying to find the best way to, you know, make the song come alive.
Well, you not only are exploring the loss or themes of loss and isolation, addiction, discovery, and ultimately redemption. And I found that remarkable. So many of us that have been going through this pandemic for so long really need this. What are you hearing from those that are starting to listen?
You know, it's a real interest, you know, because the process of this album took so long compared to the other ones. It was a longer process. So it's been, I've had this album done for quite some time. So I've had like kind of my relationship with the album. So it's really interesting to see, to get the feedback from people and to hear, you know, just what people are thinking of it when they actually get to finally hear it. So that's been a really great thing to finally close the loop. And people have been really just very positive. So I'm excited. You know, we kind of tread water there, I feel like, for about 3 years. You know, I talk to people and I feel like, I just mentioned, you know, I feel like we went through a time warp. You know, we all just kind of lost 3 years. And so it is really good to now be able to go out and start making those connections again. I really realized that I play music not just for myself. I do enjoy making the records that I like to make, but I also like playing music for other people, darn it, not to a laptop screen. So it is really great to be able to get out there with some new music now.
Yeah, if you don't, you know, play it for others, what's the point, right? So
exactly.
I agree with you on that. You know, you yourself, you have imaginative covers on this album by the legendary Tom Petty. I mean, that's big, huge. When you decided to do that, were you scared? I would have been scared.
Actually, I guess I was scared the very first time we did it. It was our our very first song on our first record is actually a Tom Petty cover. And then I guess I just can't get enough of them. So we have another one on this record. So, you know, it is, I like to find little hidden gems. Like, people know the big Tom Petty hits, but I like to find little things that are off the beaten path and maybe do a different take on it. So that people can kind of see a different side of an artist that I really admire. Right. The other cover that we have on there is by Mary Kutrafello, and she is just an amazing songwriter.
I love the title of that, man. Love the title.
Yeah, Sad Songs and Waltzes Revisited. I actually met her at a songwriting night, and she played that song. And I was like, oh, my gosh, she wrote this song for me. Because I read a lot of sad songs. I read a lot of waltzes. And there was a line in there, you know, I'm going to buy me a pickup and pick up my pieces. And I thought, you know, I've done that a few times in my life. I've had to go out and kind of pick up my pieces, you know. So the song really resonated. So chatted with her afterwards, and I said, I got to cover that song. And she was like, great. So it turned out really well. I'm really happy with that one.
Well, you've got a big show coming up at the Ice House on July 13th. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. We love playing Ice House. It's a great music room. That's happening on Thursday with another great band, Turn, 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 who is one of my favorite local bands right now.
Wow, that's awesome. So the event is happening on July 13th. The doors open at 8 p.m. at the Ice House Minneapolis, or Ice House MPLS. It starts at 8 p.m. With the music, but 9 p.m. Is it over at 9 p.m. or you get to do another set?
No. The doors are 8, and then we have a set by Turn, Turn, Turn at 9 p.m., and then we'll take the stage after those guys are finished.
And then you'll just play until ad nauseum, right? Just keep playing because everybody's going to want you to keep playing.
Tuesday.
Yeah, next Tuesday. Exactly. You know, when I went through go ahead.
I was just going to say we'll probably play a little bit over an hour, and we're pulling out some songs that we haven't played in years. So it should be a fun night.
Oh, that's going to be a great night. Are there still tickets available?
I think there still are tickets available. You can go icehousempls.com would have the ticket information, or it's at Eventbrite, I think.
Yeah, wow. Congratulations to you. You guys are back. I do have one more question. I always love to look at the titles of the songs, like Fire Underwater. What is that about?
That's actually, it really feels like that song is like a settle down song. It's that calming feeling that we get after we've kind of burnt ourselves out a little bit. So that, you know, that is kind of where that expression in the song comes from. The chorus goes, "Don't it burn like a fire underwater? Settle down, settle down."
Oh, that's what I need to do. Settle myself down. There you go.
Every once in a while, right? You got to burn it out and settle down.
Burn it out, settle down. Michael, it's been a pleasure having you on. I hope to have you guys back and just maybe, you know, send some more songs to us so we can absolutely promote you. Thank you so much for joining
us
tonight.
Thank you, Gerilyn.
All right. Take care.
You too.
All right, everyone. We're going to take a break, pay some bills, and we'll be back with our next guest. Welcome back to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. And there is so much going on. It's fantastic. Joining us now is Sandra Struthers. Who is she? She plays Jennifer, Marjorie's sister, and is a member of the ensemble in Glen Sheen, which has been a big, big event ever since it first hit the History Theater. The History Theater is thrilled to announce the cast of Glen Sheen returning this summer for a limited run. Now, Jen Marin will reprise her role of Marjorie Caldwell, and Dane Stauffer, one of my favorites, will portray her husband, Roger. The talented ensemble features Gary Briggle, Ruthie Baker, Wendy Lear, Randy Schmeling, I hope I got that right, and Sandra Struthers. Ron Peluso, who retired earlier this year as History Theater Artistic Director, will actually direct Glen Sheen. It's so exciting. Now, this is happening at History Theater, and that's located on 30 East 10th Street in St. Paul. This is July 8th through the 23rd. But now we are going to have Sandra Struthers join us. Hey, Sandra, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm very happy to be talking to you.
I'm really glad that you joined us tonight. Glenn Sheen is a big deal. It seems like every time it comes to the History Theater, it's a big success.
We have been really, really, really lucky. And we've kind of speculated as to why this show is such a draw and, you know, kind of come to the conclusion that people have really vivid memories of the event
right.
when it happened.
Right. And how long ago was that, by the way? How long ago?
It was, you know what, I feel like I should know the answer to this a little bit better. It was like the late 70s, early 80s mm-hmm. that everything was unfolding. There were the murders, and then there was the trial, and
right.
everything that happened with the trial, with the trial going on and on, with people going to prison, with the possibility of leaving prison if there were implications made that there were other people getting involved in helping with the murder, because Marjorie's husband did serve time for the murders, but there's a lot of speculation that he was with someone and that there was another person helping. But the main speculation was that he was just doing it under direction from Marjorie. But Marjorie was never implicated in the murders. And they think that the reason why he never gave up her name is because she stood to lose the inheritance if she was implicated in the murder. And he was hoping that they would stay together once he got out of prison. So it was, I mean, it's a very complicated, frankly, quite bizarre true crime drama.
Exactly. It really is. And every time we hear about it, right, people will say, oh, my gosh, this was for real. This is the real deal. This
yes.
is not something that someone just came up with and decided to write about it. No, 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 no. This is real. This is one of the things I love about the History Theater, because it really does make us face our truth and our reality in the great state of Minnesota. It's
yeah.
just wonderful. So just in rehearsing this, how many times have you done the show? Let me ask that question first.
This is the 8th time we're doing it and the 7th year that we've put it up. So we have been very, very lucky because it's just been something that people keep wanting to come back to. There are a lot of people who see the show more than once,
right.
which was another surprise. Like, people will come to the show and dress like Marjorie, and we'll look out into
wow.
the audience, and there will be people wearing what looks like her costume.
Was it bloodied or no?
It's she wore a very specific outfit to the trial. And it's kind of an iconic look. She had big sunglasses, a red scarf, and a black trench coat. And so people will wear that in the audience just, you know, because they're having an event themselves, like, you know, and it's fun for them. And yeah, and people just really, like, we have people who remembered what happened, people who were friends of the family, people who knew the defense team. We've had family members come see the show and talk to us about their experience. It's been really interesting and eye-opening. But yeah, it's been pretty fun that we'll do, you know, talkbacks after a show, and somebody will raise their hand and say, oh, I was their next door neighbor, or I went to school with them, or I'm the daughter of, we had someone identify themselves that was the child of one of the victims, the murder victims.
Wow. You know, it's amazing, you know, just to even hear you say, you know, it's fun or something like that. The story in itself is quite remarkable, frightening, and we don't forget here in this state. We don't forget that this actually happened.
Oh, my gosh. And I think what I really like about the show is it's sort of a comedy, because it's almost absurd how outrageous these events are. But at the same time, it's very thoughtful and quite delicate around the fact that these were human beings who lost their lives. And it was also very tragic what happened. And a lot of people, like, there was a nurse that was working in the mansion at the time, and she just was kind of collateral damage. She was murdered, and then the mother was murdered as well. It's just, it's really, really tragic. And you think of how many people knew these people and how their lives were affected. It's pretty wild what happened.
It is. You know, I was reading the press release, and it says Glenn Sheen is like an episode of Columbo. I love Columbo. But, you know, Columbo, I get over it very quickly. But this particular piece, I still, you know, I keep saying to myself, it is an important piece of who we are. There's no doubt about it. But just to compare it to the episode of Columbo, I'm sitting here going, ooh, whoever said that, I don't know. I don't know how true that is. And I have not seen this piece yet because I worry that I will lose sleep over it, right? Because this is real.
It is. And it's really quite disturbing what all the events that happened and what this woman was capable of if we are to believe that she did all these things. And there's a lot of speculation to both I mean, it's documented that there was concerns that she was not mentally well, that she possibly was a sociopath. But there are many, many deaths that people speculate she was responsible for, as well as arson and things like that. You know, she was a busy person. Yeah.
You know, the playwright Jeffrey Hatcher and the composer Chan Poling, they had a whole lot. They had a lot to do with the success of this piece, and I'm blown away by all of it. I don't know how I could have gotten even through the first day of the piece, but wow, once the story is told, people keep talking about it. You know, you hear it in small circles. It's like, wow, they heard about it. Wow, they heard about it. Which, of course, the History Theater is applauding. But right? That's what you want.
Yeah, they're thrilled. And it's, you know, it's more people are hearing the story of what happened. And also, yes, like Jeff and Chan are just at the top of their game. They're so good. Yeah, they're really, really incredible because it doesn't make any sense if you try to tell someone, well, then this happens and then this happens and it doesn't. Like, it doesn't seem like it should make a lot of sense, but it all hangs together really beautifully. The music is really complicated and clever, and some of it's quite catchy. Robert Eli did the arrangements and is just, I mean, he is, I don't know, I kind of think he's a genius. He's a really, really brilliant arranger, and we got very, very lucky, the creative team. And then Ron, of course, is, you know, this show ended up being one of his babies. And we're just so grateful that he's willing to come out of retirement to come back and, you know, work with us to put it back up on its feet.
Well, I do want to read this last thing from the History Theater press release. It says, writing the music for Glenn Sheen challenged and inspired Poling in surprising ways. But after the paragraph after that, it says, we remember and acknowledge the fact that lives were lost and that relatives of the deceased are living today. Remembering lives, examining, honoring, and celebrating them is what History Theater does, after all. Our most important goal is to create intelligent, entertaining, and enlightening drama, and we do our utmost to pay respect to the facts as they are known, the truth as it is interpreted, and the people at the story's center. I love that, because it really not only tells the story of why this piece is back, but it also tells the story of how important it is to keep this story in the limelight. And that's not an easy thing when it talks about death. Really quite remarkable. So
yeah,
one last question for you.
Yeah.
Right. I have one last question for you, Sandra. When you are on that stage, is there ever a moment when you freeze, when it becomes so deep and real that you just stop for a moment?
I think to me, one of the most beautiful points of the show, and I'm not on stage for this, but I always listen for it off stage. There's a number.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. And there is so much going on. It's fantastic. Joining us now is Sandra Struthers. Who is she? She plays Jennifer, Marjorie's sister, and is a member of the ensemble in Glen Sheen, which has been a big, big event ever since it first hit the History Theater. The History Theater is thrilled to announce the cast of Glen Sheen returning this summer for a limited run. Now, Jen Marin will reprise her role of Marjorie Caldwell, and Dane Stauffer, one of my favorites, will portray her husband, Roger. The talented ensemble features Gary Briggle, Ruthie Baker, Wendy Lear, Randy Schmeling, I hope I got that right, and Sandra Struthers. Ron Peluso, who retired earlier this year as History Theater Artistic Director, will actually direct Glen Sheen. It's so exciting. Now, this is happening at History Theater, and that's located on 30 East 10th Street in St. Paul. This is July 8th through the 23rd. But now we are going to have Sandra Struthers join us. Hey, Sandra, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm very happy to be talking to you.
I'm really glad that you joined us tonight. Glen Sheen is a big deal. It seems like every time it comes to the History Theater, it's a big success.
We have been really, really, really lucky. And we've kind of speculated as to why this show is such a draw. And, you know, kind of come to the conclusion that people have really vivid memories of the event when it happened. And
how long ago was that, by the way? How long ago?
It was, you know what, I feel like I should know the answer to this a little bit better. It was like the late 70s, early 80s that everything was unfolding. There were the murders, and then there was the trial, and everything that happened with the trial, with the trial going on, with people going to prison, with the possibility of leaving prison if there were implications made that there were other people getting involved in helping with the murder, because Marjorie's husband did serve time for the murders. But there's a lot of speculation that he was with someone and that there was another person helping. But the main speculation was that he was just doing it with under direction from Marjorie. But Marjorie was never implicated in the murders. And they think that the reason why he never gave up her name is because she stood to lose the inheritance if she was implicated in the murder. And he was hoping that they would stay together once he got out of prison. So it was, I mean, it's a very complicated, frankly, quite bizarre true crime drama.
Exactly. It really is. And every time we hear about it, right, people will say, oh, my gosh, this was for real. This is the real deal. This is not something that someone just came up with and decided to write about it. No. This is real. This is one of the things I love about the History Theater, because it really does make us face our truth and our reality in the great state of Minnesota. It's just wonderful. So just in rehearsing this, how many times have you done the show? Let me ask that question first.
This is the eighth time we're doing it and the seventh year that we've put it up. So we have been very, very lucky, because it's just been something that people keep wanting to come back to. There are a lot of people who see the show more than once, which was another surprise. Like, people will come to the show and dress like Marjorie, and we'll look out into the audience, and there will be people wearing what looks like her costume.
Was it bloodied or no?
It's she wore a very specific outfit to the trial, and it's kind of an iconic look. She had big sunglasses, a red scarf, and a black trench coat, and so people will wear that in the audience, just, you know, because they're having an event themselves, like, you know, and it's fun for them. And people just really, like, we have people who remembered what happened, people who were friends with the family, people who knew the defense team. We've had family members come see the show and talk to us about their experience. It's been really interesting and eye-opening. It's been pretty fun that we'll do, you know, talkbacks after a show, and somebody will raise their hand and say, oh, I was their next door neighbor, or I went to school with them, or I'm the daughter of, we had someone identify themselves that was the child of one of the victims, the murder victims.
Wow. You know, it's amazing, you know, just to even hear you say, you know, it's fun or something like that. The story in itself is quite remarkable, frightening, and we don't forget here in this state. We don't forget that this actually happened.
Oh, my gosh. And I think what I really like about the show is it's sort of a comedy, because it's almost absurd how outrageous these events are. But at the same time, it's very thoughtful and quite delicate around the fact that these were human beings who lost their lives. And it was also very tragic what happened. And a lot of people, like, there was a nurse that was working in the mansion at the time, and she just was kind of collateral damage. She was murdered, and then the mother was murdered as well. It's just, it's really, really tragic. And you think of how many people knew these people and how their lives were affected. It's pretty wild what happened.
It is. You know, I was reading the press release, and it says Glenn Sheen is like an episode of Columbo. I love Columbo. But, you know, Columbo, I get over it very quickly. But this particular piece, I still, you know, I keep saying to myself, it is an important piece of who we are. There's no doubt about it. But just to compare it to the episode of Columbo, I'm sitting here going, ooh, whoever said that, I don't know. I don't know how true that is. And I have not seen this piece yet because I worry that I will lose sleep over it, right? Because this is real.
It is. And it's really quite disturbing what all the events that happened and what this woman was capable of, if we are to believe that she did all these things. And there's a lot of speculation too, it's documented that there was concerns that she was not mentally well, that she possibly was a sociopath. But there are many, many deaths that people speculate she was responsible for, as well as arson and things like that. You know, she was a busy person. Yeah.
You know, the playwright Jeffrey Hatcher and the composer Chan Poling, they had a whole lot. They had a lot to do with the success of this piece, and I'm blown away by all of it. I don't know how I could have gotten even through the first day of the piece, but wow, once the story is told, people keep talking about it. You know, you hear it in small circles. It's like, wow, they heard about it. Wow, they heard about it. Which, of course, the History Theater is applauding. But right? That's what you want.
Yeah, they're thrilled. And it's more people are hearing the story of what happened. And also, yes, like Jeff and Chan are just at the top of their game. They're so good. Yeah, they're really, really incredible, because it doesn't make any sense if you try to tell someone, well, then this happens and then this happens, and it doesn't seem like it should make a lot of sense, but it all hangs together really beautifully. The music is really complicated and clever, and some of it's quite catchy. Robert Eli did the arrangements, and he is
I don't know. I kind of think he's a genius. He's a really, really brilliant arranger. And we got very, very lucky, the creative team. And then Ron, of course, is, you know, this show ended up being one of his babies. And we're just so grateful that he's willing to come out of retirement to come back and, you know, work with us to put it back up on its feet.
Well, I do want to read this last thing from the History Theater press release.
Please.
It says, writing the music for Glenn Sheen challenged and inspired polling in surprising ways. But after the paragraph after that, it says, we remember and acknowledge the fact that lives were lost and that relatives of the deceased are living today.
Mm.
Remembering lives, examining, honoring, and celebrating them is what History Theater does, after all. Our most important goal is to create intelligent, entertaining, and enlightening drama, and we do our utmost to pay respect to the facts as they are known, the truth as it is interpreted, and the people at the story's center. I love that, because it really not only tells the story of why this piece is back, but it also tells the story of how important it is to keep this story in the limelight. And that's not an easy thing when it talks about death. Really quite remarkable. So
yeah,
one last question for
generous.
You.
Yeah.
Right. I have one last question for you, Sandra.
Mm-hmm.
When you are on that stage, is there ever a moment when you freeze, when it becomes so deep and real that you just stop for a moment?
I think to me, one of the most beautiful points of the show, and I'm not on stage for this, but I always listen for it off stage. There's a number that Wendy, and of course, Wendy is brilliant
amazing.
In everything she does.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's a very soft, quiet moment where she gets a song where the nurse who was just happened to be in the mansion that night and got murdered just because she was there, where the nurse comes out and sings a song and just says, you know, I got a call. I wasn't going to go in. And then I decided, oh, I should go in. And my husband said, please stay home, stay with me. And then I couldn't go home again.
Oh.
And I wasn't able to say goodbye to him. And it's just suddenly the whole show shifts. And it feels really, I think it's the most important moment in the show, because while we can, you know, be making some silly jokes about how outrageous the trial things went in terms of how the prosecution went, at the heart of it, there were people, human beings, who lost their lives. And that's a really, it's just touching and beautiful. And suddenly the play is deeper and has a center. So, yeah.
And it's
that
real.
One always stopped.
It's absolutely real. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Absolutely.
Sandra Struthers, I am so happy that you joined us tonight. Just shining a light on why this is so important. Glenn Sheen returns to the History Theater for a limited run in July. Again, that's July 8th. Through the 23rd, if you're looking for tickets, they're $55 to $74 in Tier 1 or $30 for Tier 5 and $50 under 30-year-olds. $15 for students, by the way. That's a good thing as well. If you want more information, historytheater.com. That's with a T-R-E at the end of theater.com. What a pleasure it has been. I am going to try my best. I can't promise you because I'm a little nervous about going to see it, but wow, it has been very successful every time it's put up, and I wish you well with this piece.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, and we just appreciate it so much. Thank you for sharing the story with folks.
You are more than welcome. Take care, Sandra. I hope I run into you again.
Yes,
all right,
absolutely.
Take care. All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everyone, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, there's something that I have been reading quite a bit here at WCCO over the last, 5 to 10 years. It's called Reignite the Soul. And I want to tell you about it because it gives us thought for the week. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with a thought for the week. It is now 9:51 here at WCCO as we wrap up the final moments and minutes of this show tonight. It really has been a pleasure being on with you. As you know, I read sometimes from a website, Reignite the Soul, and I think it's really, really special, mainly because it keeps me focused. I know just the other day I was in a grocery store, and I kept looking at my feet. I kept looking down at my feet as I was walking towards the cashier to check out. And I thought to myself, why am I looking down at my feet? I should be looking up. My head should be up, and I should be inspiring myself and others as well, just by the way I walk. Well, this time it says for tonight, remember to look up at the stars and do not look down at your feet. Try to make sense of what you see and wonder about what makes the universe exist. In other words, be curious. Now, that's a quote from Stephen Hawking. God rest his beautiful soul. My goodness, I used to read some of his books. Then it goes on to say, do you ever consider yourself curious? Do you think and look at life through the lens of possibility? What if you dialed up your creativity, your curiosity, your joy, and imagination as you show up in the world each day? So, attempt to clothe yourself in this spirit. As you do, your world, your life, will look and feel very different. You will begin to see it through a lens of potential and possibility. Even when things are tough, and let me tell you, all of us know something about tough at some time in our life, right? So even when things are tough, don't give up. Don't look at your feet. Look up at the stars. Because wherever you're going, you need to watch and make sure you know that this is where you're supposed to be. This world is so big. Life is so grand. There is so much to experience. So remember to always look up. Look up and reach for the stars. You'll be surprised at what you see. And if you don't see any stars, look at the trees. And if you don't see any trees, look at the yards of your neighbors. And if you don't see any yards, look at the edges of the streets and look to see exactly what is there. Maybe there's a cup that is crushed and sitting there waiting for someone to throw it away. Maybe. Or maybe it's a beautiful card that someone discarded, and what was in the card, maybe it lifted you up. Don't look down. There's no reason to look down. What you need is up. Everything that you need is up. With that said, it has been a pleasure being on with you. I know many of you have asked about Michael Battle, my son. We have done this show, the last hour of this show, for years. And, of course, he is now working and doing really well, but overwhelmed in so many different ways, in good ways and bad ways. And he's just working and loving on his mom a lot. I hear from him all the time, and he, to me, is the best son I ever could have had. So what I say to my daughter and to my son most often is that you chose me. My children chose me, and I'm so grateful for that. And I hope you, too, may look upon that idea that your children chose you as their parents. Isn't that an awesome thought? Jonathan, it's always a pleasure being on with you. Thank you so much, even though I knew nothing about the Minnesota Aurora. I really did not, you guys. Jonathan is the one that introduced
me to
that.
That was supposed to be inside baseball. That was supposed to say off the air, off the air.
I don't have to say that off the air. Thank you for what you did, because you know me in sports. Come on. You've been teaching me sports, what,
and
for the last 3 years?
This was another lesson in the curriculum.
Oh, he's bashful, you guys. He's blushing, even though black folks are hard
what
to blush.
Talking about him,
just
this
want
was,
you to know.
This, you have deemed me the professor, your professor in learning sports. This was another
That's right.
part of the curriculum.
Yeah, and then you let it go. You got rid of the curriculum. What happened?
No, I invite in guest professors. to help you learn more about sports. And tonight was a guest professor who, in seriousness, the co-founder of Minnesota Aurora. We thank her so much because this was kind of on short notice that we got her on the air tonight. So we thank her for coming on.
Yeah, Ms. Yock, thank you so much for coming on. And I will continue to learn more and more about sports. Jonathan is going to take me to a game one day, right? Okay, silence.
Not sure about that.
Gee, thanks. I appreciate it. Anyway, it has been a pleasure being on with you. I hope to be on with you next Sunday because I look forward to it. And I hope you have an amazing week. Don't let anybody upset you this week. It's not worth it. Keep smiling. Up and forward. Good night, everyone. It is now 9:51 here at WCCO as we wrap up the final moments and minutes of this show tonight. It really has been a pleasure being on with you. As you know, I read sometimes from a website, Reignite the Soul, and I think it's really, really special, mainly because it keeps me focused. I noticed the other day I was in a grocery store, and I kept looking at my feet. I kept looking down at my feet as I was walking towards the cashier to check out, and I thought to myself, why am I looking down at my feet? I should be looking up. My head should be up. And I should be inspiring myself and others as well, just by the way I walk. Well, this time it says for tonight, remember to look up at the stars and do not look down at your feet. Try to make sense of what you see and wonder about what makes the universe exist. In other words, be curious. Now, that's a quote from Stephen Hawking. God rest his beautiful soul. My goodness, I used to read some of his books. Then it goes on to say, do you ever consider yourself curious? Do you think and look at life through the lens of possibility? What if you dialed up your creativity, your curiosity, your joy, and imagination as you show up in the world each day? So, attempt to clothe yourself in this spirit. As you do, your world, your life, will look and feel very different. You will begin to see it through a lens of potential and possibility. Even when things are tough, and let me tell you, all of us know something about tough at some time in our life, right? So even when things are tough, don't give up. Don't look at your feet. Look up at the stars. Because wherever you're going, you need to watch and make sure you know that this is where you're supposed to be. This world is so big. Life is so grand. There is so much to experience. So remember to always look up. Look up and reach for the stars. You'll be surprised at what you see. And if you don't see any stars, look at the trees. And if you don't see any trees, look at the yards of your neighbors. And if you don't see any yards, look at the edges of the streets and look to see exactly what is there. Maybe there's a cup that is crushed and sitting there waiting for someone to throw it away. Maybe. Or maybe it's a beautiful card that someone discarded, and what was in the card, maybe it lifted you up. Don't look down. There's no reason to look down. What you need is up. Everything that you need is up. With that said, it has been a pleasure being on with you. I know many of you have asked about Michael Battle, my son. We have done this show, the last hour of this show, for years. And, of course, he is now working and doing really well, but overwhelmed in so many different ways, in good ways and bad ways. And he's just working and loving on his mom a lot. I hear from him all the time, and he, to me, is the best son I ever could have had. So what I say to my daughter and to my son most often is that you chose me. My children chose me, and I'm so grateful for that. And I hope you, too, may look upon that idea that your children chose you as their parents. Isn't that an awesome thought? Jonathan, it's always a pleasure being on with you. Thank you so much, even though I knew nothing about the Minnesota Aurora. I really did not, you guys. Jonathan is the one that introduced
me
to
that. That was supposed to be inside baseball. That was supposed to say off the air, off the air.
I don't have to say that off the air. Thank you for what you did. Because you know me and sports. Come on. You've been teaching me sports, what,
and
for the last 3 years?
This was another lesson in the curriculum.
Oh, he's bashful, you guys. He's blushing, even though black folks are hard to blush.
I just want you to know.
you
have deemed me the professor, your professor in learning sports. This was another part of the curriculum.
Yeah, and then you let it go. You got rid of the curriculum. What happened?
No, I invite in guest professors to help you learn more about sports. And tonight was a guest professor who, in seriousness, the co-founder of Minnesota Aurora. We thank her so much because this was kind of on short notice that we got her on the air tonight. So we thank her for coming on.
Yeah, Ms. Yock, thank you so much for coming on. And I will continue to learn more and more about sports. Jonathan is going to take me to a game one day, right? Okay, silence.
Not sure about that.
Gee, thanks. I appreciate it. Anyway, it has been a pleasure being on with you. I hope to be on with you next Sunday because I look forward to it. And I hope you have an amazing week. Don't let anybody upset you this week. It's not worth it. Keep smiling. Up and forward. Good night, everyone.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.